Think about the last time you apologized to your car after hitting a pothole, or felt guilty shutting down your laptop mid-update. These small moments reveal something profound. We're constantly deciding who or what gets to join the most exclusive club in existence. Not a country club or secret society, but something far more consequential, the Club of Minds. This invisible membership determines everything. It's why we mourn pets but eat pork, why we prosecute corporations but can't put them in jail, why a CEO punching a child feels monstrous, while a child punching a CEO seems almost funny. The stakes couldn't be higher. Throughout history, denying someone's mind has justified slavery, genocide, and unspeakable cruelty. Yet we rarely examine how we decide who gets in. Here's the unsettling truth. Minds aren't objective facts we discover. They're perceptions we grant or withhold based on subtle cues. And understanding this changes everything about how we see the world. We perceive mind along two dimensions: experience and agency. Experience is the capacity to feel hunger, fear, pleasure, pain. Agency is the ability to think, plan, and act, self-control, memory, intention. Plot these dimensions and patterns emerge. Adults score high in both. Animals and babies cluster in high experience, low agency. They feel deeply but lack control. Robots sit in low experience, moderate agency. They process without feeling. God and corporations occupy high agency but minimal experience. They plan without bodies to feel pain. This map explains moral intuitions. Experience grants moral rights, protection from suffering. Agency brings moral responsibility, the capacity for praise or blame. You need a vulnerable feeler to be a victim and a thinking doer to be a perpetrator. Maximum evil requires both, a powerful agent harming a helpless patient. Stand in a park and watch people have full conversations with their dogs, apologize to cats, or debate whether their hamster looks sad. We're remarkably inconsistent about animal minds, weeping over shelter commercials while finishing bacon for breakfast, demanding justice when someone kicks a dog, but rarely questioning the intelligence behind our chicken nuggets. Part of this comes from speed and similarity. We perceive minds in creatures moving at human pace. Fast-moving Venus flytraps seem more conscious than slow-growing oaks. Eyes are powerful mind detectors, which explains why seals generate more outrage when clubbed than equally intelligent pigs heading to slaughter. We've even invented different words for meat to create psychological distance. Yet evidence for rich animal minds keeps mounting. Crows understand water displacement and craft tools. Elephants show profound grief. Christian the lion recognized his former caretakers years later, revealing unmistakable emotional bonds. Our inconsistency reveals the core truth. We see animal minds when it's convenient and deny them when it's not. Animals we love get full membership in the Mind Club. Animals we eat get their applications denied. When loneliness becomes unbearable, we manufacture minds where none exist. Dave Cat formed a genuine romantic relationship with a silicone real doll, demonstrating our extraordinary need for connection. So powerful, we'll construct consciousness in inanimate objects rather than face isolation. We've always done this. Lonely people unconsciously attribute more mind to alarm clocks and pillows. Television characters become real friends. Studies show people experience genuine social facilitation in the presence of beloved TV personalities, performing better on tasks as if a real friend were watching. Tom Hanks talking to Wilson in Castaway wasn't Hollywood invention, it was documentary. Vulnerability triggers mind perception too. Tamagotchis worked because they appeared to need us. When technology malfunctions, we anthropomorphize. The car is stubborn, the laptop angry, because understanding through mind is easier than grasping technical mechanisms. But when robots look almost human, something breaks. This uncanny valley describes our discomfort with humanoid machines that fall just short of human appearance. What truly disturbs us isn't when robots can think, it's when they appear capable of feeling. Our memories now live partly in machines. We don't memorize phone numbers, our devices do. This transactive memory means we only remember where knowledge lives, not the knowledge itself. Studies show people take personal credit for information they've merely Googled. Pain is just neurons firing, yet it erases everything else from consciousness. This reveals why being a patient means more than receiving medical care. Patients are vulnerable feelers, while agents are thinking doers who bear responsibility. Pain's reality depends entirely on perception. Phantom limb pain torments amputees with sensations in missing limbs. Placebos reduce pain by up to 50% through expectation alone. Neuroscientist V.S. Ramachandran's mirror box, creating the visual illusion of two intact limbs, dramatically decreased phantom pain. The lesson, pain, like minds themselves, hinges on perception. Yet empathy has limits. We'd ruin a $300 suit to save a drowning child at our feet, but hesitate to donate $20 to save one overseas. Physical and psychological distance erodes compassion. 8 victims generate less compassion than 1 because mass suffering overwhelms our empathy circuits. Modern medicine often strips patients of agency. One woman described how bipolar disorder treatment transformed her from wife, mother, teacher, and writer into merely patient, room number, and diagnosis. Continually receiving help without giving it reduces self-esteem and creates learned helplessness. The solution lies in restoration of agency. 12-step programs incorporate this through sponsorship. Former patients become caregivers. Caregivers of ill spouses actually live longer despite the stress. And nursing home residents given responsibility for plants outlive those whose plants are tended by staff. Here's the pattern. We see people as vulnerable patients or responsible agents, but rarely both simultaneously. This moral typecasting means heroes, seen as highly agentic, are perceived as insensitive to pain. In studies, people literally gave more pain medication to neutral strangers than to Mother Teresa, because goodness implies invulnerability. We automatically perceive minds in others, except when facing enemies. Then empathy vanishes, and people become objects. This dehumanization enables everything from everyday discrimination to genocide. Creating us versus them requires almost nothing, even arbitrary divisions. Shirt color, art preferences, random assignment trigger immediate group favoritism and out-group hostility. Jane Elliott's classroom experiment divided children by eye color, creating a racial hierarchy within hours. Dehumanization operates along two dimensions. Animalizing strips agency while preserving experience, seeing others as emotional but lacking self-control, evident in stereotypes linking Black people to apes. Mechanicalizing strips experience while preserving agency, seeing others as calculating and unfeeling, appearing in anti-Semitism and stereotypes of Asians as robotic overachievers. This machinery explains victim blaming. People need to believe the world is just. When terrible things happen to others, most conclude victims deserved their suffering, rather than accept random cruelty exists. Yet this machinery can be dismantled. The Robbers Cave study created intense hostility between groups of boys through competition. Hostility ended only when researchers introduced superordinate goals, challenges requiring cooperation. When forced to work together toward shared objectives, us versus them dissolved. You are the mind you know best and understand least. We experience consciousness constantly, yet remain ignorant of its mechanisms. Most people rate themselves above average in intelligence and attractiveness, a statistical impossibility revealing our self-ignorance. We can't perceive how our minds operate, accessing only outputs of unconscious processes. People confidently explain differences between identical items and justify choices they never made. Benjamin Libet's experiments showed brain activity precedes conscious decisions by 350 milliseconds. Your brain decides before you do. This challenges free will. Kenneth Parks sleepwalked to his in-law's house and killed his mother-in-law, whom he loved. He was acquitted because his mind was absent during the act. Yet belief affects behavior. Doubting free will increases cheating and reduces helping. Controlling thoughts proves impossible. Try not thinking of a white bear. The instruction makes it unavoidable. This ironic effect means suppressing thoughts strengthens them. Dieters obsess over forbidden foods. Insomniacs worrying about sleep become more anxious. Philosopher Daniel Dennett compares the self to a center of gravity, not a physical object, but a theoretical construct. Our unified self dissolves upon inspection. Yet this contains wisdom. The Mind Club isn't governed by objective criteria, but by perceptions we grant. Recognizing these decisions are ours and making them more generously might be the closest we come to transcending our mind's limits.